afternoon, and welcome back to We the People Radio. I know you've missed us this week. There's been a lot going on, and you wondered, what are those guys at We the People Radio doing?
Yeah, what are they going to talk about?
We were gearing up for this week. That's what we were doing. Yeah. So my name is Aaron Ryan.
My name is Bill Cundiff.
What do you have for us, Bill?
Well, we have a sponsor this hour. It's Pape Machinery, our local John Deere and John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They're getting mowing equipment in, tractors. Go up and see them. Spring is in the air. Believe it or not, we had our first fire already, which was kind of strange.
But yeah. Wahoo.
Yeah, off the point. Anyway, yeah, go up and see them.
Not really.
Full part sales and service. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake. Or you can catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Or 530-226-9226.
There you go.
Oh, yes,
yeah,
did remember
it. All in there.
I've heard it so many times, actually. I know it by heart now.
Yeah.
As far as the mowing goes, yeah, please mow early. Mow early, mow often, and then stop it when...
Yeah, it's just about...
I was going to say stop it when it dries out, but oh, that's now, so...
It's funny, I was just noticing the other day that all the roadsides are already turning brown.
Isn't that great?
And here we are, beginning of March, and...
It's brown.
They usually don't shut the mowing off until, like, June 1st.
Yeah, well...
No, I think this
year's going
to be...
Welcome to Northern California, where they shut off our water. We won't even get into that, because that's a long topic. I will tell you, however, speaking of other long topics, the sequel to Cartelville is being researched and interviewed right now. The filming hasn't been done on the ground. They're going to wait till like April or May, but they are interviewing in Shasta and Siskiyou County. And after one week in Shasta County of hearing people's stories and talking to the sheriff and all that stuff, they've decided to bring in a larger editing crew because this is a much bigger story than they thought. And
yeah, they had no idea.
Well, they kind of did, but they did the little 50 greenhouse grow down in Southern California, and it's like, oh, we dream about 50.
Well, I don't even think it was 50, was it?
Yeah, it was like 50.
50?
And they were all horrified, and I thought, uh-huh, wait till you see the 5,000 up north. That's going to blow your mind. And they haven't even seen that yet. So the Daily Caller News Foundation is working on a sequel. If you haven't seen Cartelville yet, you can find it, search it online, all one word. And they really do a very good job. And so, and then if there are those of you listening, which I don't think you would be listening to this show, but just in case you are, and you think, like, marijuana, it's not hurting anyone. Gosh, it's a personal decision. It's just like alcohol,
yes.
Blah, blah, blah.
It's natural.
Yeah. Wait till you see where it comes from. You're going to be shocked and amazed.
Yeah, and the additives they put on it to make it better.
Mm-hmm. Spray adhesive. So you can find that at wethepeopleradio.us. I have a tab at the top of the thing right next to the archives button that says pot. Pretty straightforward. It has all our shows about that. And it has a whole bunch of pictures. And if you haven't seen the pictures yet, you should really go look. You owe it to yourself to snap your eyes wide open. It will be shocking. So our guest today, we haven't talked to him in years, and I guess I should really have gone back and looked, but his name is Patrick Wood, and he has been very, very busy. He's the leading and critical expert on sustainable development, green economy, Agenda 21, and Agenda 2030, and historic technocracy. I can't wait to talk about that since we've watched technocracy for the past 2 years, like all Patrick's dreams have come true in a bad way. He is the author of Technocracy Rising, the Trojan Horse of Global Transformation, and the co-author of Trilaterals Over Washington, Volumes 1 and 2. He co-authored those with the late Anthony C. Sutton. So he remains the leading expert on the elitist Trilateral Commission, their policies and achievements in creating their self-proclaimed new international economic order, which is the essence of sustainable development on a global scale. He's an economist by education, a financial analyst, and a writer by profession, and an American constitutionalist by choice. He maintains a biblical worldview and has deep historical insights into the modern attacks on sovereignty, property rights, and personal freedom, all things people who listen to this show like and are interested in. Such attacks are epitomized by the implementation of UN policies such as Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, Smart Growth, another fan favorite, and in education, the widespread adoption of Common Core state standards. Lest we forget. We've been so involved in CRT, we forgot about Common Core. Wood is a frequent speaker and guest on radio shows around the nation, and his current research builds on Trilateral Commission hegemony, focusing on technocracy, transhumanism, scientism, and how these are transforming global economics, politics, and religion, because it's everywhere and in everything.
What do you hear about it? That's all you hear about.
I know, and I've linked two really good websites, just so we don't, you know, gloss over that. Technocracy.news and citizensforfreespeech.org. I have both of those up and a description of both. And I do think you should sign up for his newsletter because it's really good. And it is very newsy. And it isn't the same stuff that everybody else is writing about. Okay. Our talking is done. And Patrick Wood's going to tell us a bunch of good stuff. So take it away, Pat.
Hey, it's good to hear from you. It seems like it was just yesterday since I was on your program.
I know your voice is really familiar, but I looked back through the archives and I was like, okay, I don't know where he is. He's way back in there.
I know. You know, in the meantime, it's kind of funny that our dog is acting up. You have to excuse me for just a minute.
It's okay. We like
dogs.
Somebody
came to the bar, and she's like, oh, it came for me. It came for me.
It's for me.
Classic dog logic. And they're bringing cookies.
I'm glad she's a watchdog. I need one of these days. It's funny. I had a, thank you for the intro, but I had an interview with a guy in South Africa. It was a very sharp guy. I was really surprised that he was so up on stuff, but he did a great interview. He really knew his stuff and actually read my books. And he introduced me very simply. And I at first I chuckled, and I didn't know whether it was how to take it. He said, and now we have Pat Wood on with us today, the living expert on technocracy, and he stopped.
Oops.
Oh.
That's all he said. And I thought, you mean there's some dead ones out there? I don't like the sound of that.
Bad trend.
The only one left. But here we are.
Well, I thought, some people have followed your stuff for a long time because I first became acquainted with you back when we first got the Tea Party started, 10, 11 years ago. And I'm noticing that there are a whole different group of people that are becoming interested in these topics now. It's kind of like the second wave. I don't like to assume that people have heard of people or followed them or whatever. I mean, I think you have a whole new batch of followers out there. And we have a whole lot of people who listen outside the United States. And we know that they're being impacted. So I said it was all your choice, but can you tell people? I lied. Can you tell people?
She lied just to get you to come on.
My first lie. I'm Irish. We lie for, just sport. The technocracy thing, I'm not sure people necessarily know that name, but am I overstating it to say that Anthony Fauci is the poster boy?
Well, he is in our country, very easily discernible, he sits behind presidents, yet calls all the shots for policy. No pun intended on shots. But, yeah, exactly. Technocracy, however, is, I have to keep reminding people, it's an economic system, more than just a medical dictatorship sort of a thing. We see it there, and that's part of it. But it's an economic system that was developed way back in the last century, in the 1930s, that was supposed to replace capitalism and free enterprise. And they thought capitalism was dead in 1932 as the Great Depression was on and stuff. But capitalism didn't die, and so they didn't get their dream come true. Today, we see the same people with the same policies mounting an assault on the entire planet, not just on the North American continent. And now they're talking about a great reset. That is a complete makeover of the economic system. Well, I'll tell you where it came from. It's technocracy.
Yep. Just
and the reason
rebranded.
I keep using the word, pardon?
It's just rebranded.
Just rebranded. That's right. They just changed the name and kept on trucking. And so today we see all of the elements of this coming out with, like the World Economic Forum and the Great Reset, Build Back Better, et cetera, where they're saying flat out We're going to replace capitalism and free market economics as you know it, and we're going to enter into this new era of a resource-based economic system where they control the resources and they control your consumption of those resources. Just that simple. This is very scary for people just waking up to it. They're like in shock. It's kind of like you go to the gas pump today, and I don't know what it is in California, but I bet it's close to $6 a gallon now.
Kind of depends on where you are. We're creeping on five.
Yeah, we're just about to hit five. We're 10 cents away from five in Arizona right now. But people wake up. They look at this stuff and say, "Wait a minute, something screwy going on here." And they're starting to understand what it means, resource-based economic system. And the reason I keep harping on the word technocracy is that so many people want to view it as communism, socialism, or fascism. And it's not. It's none of those. It's different. And they're significant. Of course, on the other hand, the similarities of it, technocracy is a totalitarian system where you have no choice. You can't move left, right, up, or down. They will just tell you what to do, and you'll have to do it. And that's why Klaus Schwab today can say, and he has said, you will own nothing and be happy by 2030. Not sure how that's going to work out, but I don't think I'm going to be happy about that.
That's probably going to be bad. Well, I mean, the thing that always stuck with me about the concept of technocracy was that the people who think that this is a great idea, they think that if experts ran everything instead of just a bunch of dummies electing other dummies to represent them, if we just had experts in charge of everything, the world would be so much better off. The last 2 years I have, it's been frustrating, but I've kind of chuckled up my sleeve over and over and over that even the dumbest person, you know, out there who really was like hook, line, and sinker, you know, for this, they would have to look at all the craziness that's happened and thought, maybe being run by experts isn't awesome. Because look at what a mess they made.
Yeah. Everything that the technocrats have touched in the last 30 years has turned to dirt. Every single thing. I can't think of anything where they really excelled and made life better for anybody. But all the promises that the United Nations have made, which is how this spread to the world, by the way, it was through the United Nations. All the promises they've made to eliminate poverty and to, you know, have jobs with dignity for everyone and safety for the whole world, that all is just a pile of propaganda. And none of it has come true, and just the opposite has happened. We have more poverty today than we've ever had. We have more wars today than we've ever had, more conflicts. We have less jobs today than we've had before. You know, you just go down the line. Everything they've touched has turned to dirt. It's just like, well, when are people going to wake up to this and say, you know what, we need to throw these bums out?
Well, the interesting part of it is they go to their elected officials and they want them to save them, but because it's all being done by the bureaucracy, you're looking at either the governor or the top of the executive branch, so you're looking at the governor or the president, and if they're, for lack of a better term, in on it or good with it, there's no recourse because they're not doing this big law.
And also they've continually financed people. I mean, just keep giving them free stuff, and they'll keep them in office and continue to put these policies in place. And now here we are, free money's running out, and we're stuck with terrible inflation, $5 a gallon gas, the job market. People don't want to work now because they got it for free for so long. I think they're used to just sitting around and being spoon fed. And here we are.
No forks? Too pointy?
No forks. They can't. It's too sharp. Yeah.
Yeah. We better
take a really quick break, Pat. Otherwise, we'll interrupt you. When you come back, we're going to put tape over our mouths and stop being super excited about the topic and shut our pie holes. How's that? We're going to pass a law for that while you're listening to these commercials. You can catch us on the web at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Lovely.
Oh, by the way, I've cracked the code. I figured out the shadow organizations and the Illuminati know that they're finally primed for world domination. And soon you've got black helicopters coming across the border, puppet masters for the new world order. Be aware, there's always someone that's watching you, and still the government won't admit they fake a whole moon landing. Thought control race, psychotronic scanning. Don't mind that, I'm protected cause I made this hat from aluminum foil. Where I had this foil lined in case an alien's inclined to probe your butt or read your mind. Looks a bit peculiar. Seems a little crazy, but someday I'll prove there's a big conspiracy.
And today's the day. We were just laughing before the show. We all have to get new conspiracy theories because all the old ones came true.
Yeah.
But all these things that, I mean, Pat, you've probably had tons of people tell you, oh, none of this is really happening over the years.
Yeah. They don't tell me that so much anymore.
No, I know. That's what's so funny about it.
And, I know. In a scary way,
but all those things that we used to get, because the last time we saw you was in 2011, by the way. I did look it up.
Oh.
And back then, we were alone. And we were new. You had actually been talking about it for years by then.
Yes, I was very alone. I still, in a way, kind of feel alone still. But I have to say, I'm so glad that more up and coming journalists are writing about technocracy now than ever before. They're finally really starting to get it. And there's some scholarship coming out of the world, you know, out there of journalists and writers and authors and stuff like that, which is really good. It may be too late, you know, maybe not, but at least the early work has been validated time and time again.
Yeah.
I can tell you a funny story, by the way.
We love funny stories.
This will tick you. I know, because it's a Northern California story.
Mm.
You know, I lived for years in Grass Valley, and this isn't when I was living there, but I went back up there to Grass Valley to do a talk at the fairgrounds, and it was a talk to the school. Was it? I don't know, some Tea Party group, I think, probably. They filled the room up. It was full. And lo and behold, my friend Debbie Bacigalupi was with me. And so she was a little skeptical back then. I don't know about this technocracy stuff. You know, she knew a lot about Agenda 21, but she wasn't quite sure about the whole thing. And I said, Debbie, one day, someday, you're going to meet a technocrat, and your teeth are going to drop out of your mouth. And I said that jokingly, but, you know, along the way, sort of. I said, you just wait. You'll see. Well, here we are at this meeting. I gave my talk, and afterwards, everybody was milling around and chit-chatting. Some people went home. Other people wanted to stay and talk. She comes up to me. Sasha comes up rather abruptly. She says, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, I just met a technocrat. And this guy was there. He rode his bike there. I don't know what this guy was in the area. He rode his bike there. I happened to run into him a few months later and talked to him, and sure enough, he was a technocrat. He pulls out his wallet, and he opens his wallet up with one of the little clear displays, and, you know, where you can see, like, it should be your driver's license, whatever. But he had a card in there that said Technocracy Incorporated, and it gave his name and everything else. And the guy was a certified dyed-in-the-wool technocrat. This guy came up to her and said, I'm so-and-so, and I am a technocrat.
Because it was a real thing.
It was a real thing. I know. Here he was. Yeah. So it's kind of, it was pretty funny. That's my Northern California story.
That they live among us. Hence my earlier song.
They live among us. That's right. You could say like mushrooms are the fungus among us.
Well, so the technocrats have been worming their way in to unelected power for over 10 years. They've been convincing people that, hey, if you just let us take care of this, we've got, you know, all the answers. And we've seen in the last 2 years that the people that we elected, since none of this is based on laws that they passed, it's very difficult to rein them in.
It is almost impossible.
Yeah, I'm just going to say that,
because,
but it's kind of sad.
And I'll tell you why. It's not that it's physically impossible, but what's happened is that let me back up to the 1930s just to set the stage for this. Back then, the technocrats wanted to completely demolish our political system. They wanted to send Congress home. Anybody elected in society, you're gone. Just go home. We're going to run everything from now on. So that was pretty radical. No other ism said we need to get rid of the political structure altogether. Nobody, including communists. They wanted a political structure so they could control everything. But the technocrats were going to control everything scientifically, which is different. They said, we don't need a government. Well, this antipathy still exists with governments today. The government and elected officials have become useful idiots to these technocrats. They operate on a global stage now, of course. They're not just American, although a lot of technology came from America, but they're not just Americans. They're all over the planet now. And the politicians are the useful idiots. And what I mean by that is the technocrats are calling the shots on policy, using the political structure that's still there to implement it, in other words, to force it down our throat. But when government tries to resist, when somebody in government tries to resist these people, like try to get rid of Fauci, for instance,
yeah.
It doesn't happen. Okay, why doesn't it happen? Well, the reason it doesn't happen is they have more power than do our elected politicians. That's just clear. That's just long and short of it. They have more power collectively than do the governments of the world right now. And what governments of the world will someday wake up to, probably too late, is that they will be the first ones to get thrown under the bus if technocracy takes over completely. And that means we will get thrown under the bus, too, because those are, in fact, our elected people. And I understand that. You are We the People Radio. I get that. There's a reason you call it that.
Well, you do see sort of a morphing into this, because it's a deference that is shown. You know, well, they probably know more than we do. And it depends. Are we gathering information or allowing them to set policy? Because I can hear, you know, I don't know, I'm always channeling the other side in my other ear. And I'm thinking, okay, so there are people out there thinking, well, it is a good idea to have experts in charge of things. Well, experts should be providing data, but they should not be setting policy. And I think
that's right.
I think those distinctions have to be maintained, or we wind up locked in our houses with no toilet paper
and a mask on.
Yes,
three masks.
And with mask on.
Come
right.
on, Bill.
Yeah.
Imagine just for the sake of understanding what this means, what we're talking about. Imagine Jeff Bezos, the former chairman of Amazon. Imagine Bezos getting into a position of power, like, I don't know, say, country dictator, world, it doesn't matter, world dictator, whatever. Say he gets in a position of influence, and he decides to run society like he runs Amazon. Now, if anybody has any idea of how Amazon is run, it's probably pretty scary. They employ a lot of people. I expect there's probably some people listening to this program that have been employed or are employed by Amazon right now. It's not really a fun place to work. There's so much pressure on the employees there. And in many cases, we've seen stories on this. They're afraid to go to the bathroom because they get dinged and they get fired.
Well, I saw the commercials. That's not what they say on the commercials.
Of course not.
Those were totally true, Bill.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, you know, here you have every little movement you make monitored by a camera and AI. And if you're moving too slow or you didn't pack enough boxes per hour, whatever, a little red light might go off and ba-ding, 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 and, you know, you're busted. Hurry up. Move faster. This is a very autocratic place to work. Now, Would you like to have America run like that? You know, because the technocrats that are behind this, the people like the Faucis of the world and the Googles and the, you know, the Facebooks of the world, this is how these companies are run. Do you really want to run the world that way? Do we as citizens want to be run like that?
Yeah.
No, not under any circumstance do we want that. That's why we have a political system right now, is to keep us away from despots like that. At least when you work for somebody like a Google, if you have a job, thank goodness you have a job, it's good to get a paycheck. But it's going to be a hard paycheck for you. And at least you can get off at 5 o'clock and go home. You know, get a breather from the whole thing. If the whole world was run this way, just arbitrarily, there'd be no escape. It would be the scientific dictatorship that Aldous Huxley talked about. And he said, if it really was ever implemented, there would be no escape. And these are the stakes right now that we face. These technocrats say that they want to run society according to science and nothing else. Political system means nothing to these people. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I think we got a heads up on that one over the last couple of years. The science seemed to shift around in an odd way.
They have their own science too. It's not necessarily
the science.
The popular. Well, it is the popular science. It's not the real science. I mean, they find their own white papers and their own, you know.
Well, and then anybody who questions that, of course, with other science.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You're a hater. You're a communist. You're yeah.
Yeah.
You can't go against it.
Well, we motor on talking about this story. People are paying attention now. They are getting it. They're starting to feel it in their own lives, the pinch. If they don't feel it in the pocketbook, they feel it psychologically, certainly. And, right now with the whole vaccine mandate, a lot of it still being in place, it's kind of easing up in some places. But, you know, we found out just how dictatorial these people can be, and how they've been able to get through and manipulate our politicians to do these things. It's just incredible, absolutely incredible. You never would have thought 5 years ago, if you'd asked, could this scenario exist, you'd say no. No way could ever get to this point. Well, here we are.
Yep.
Yeah, and, happened really quickly, too.
It does. And in 2020, when this whole thing started with the pandemic, I wrote, immediately, and I understood this immediately, that this was the coup d'etat of technocracy.
Mm-hmm.
This was it. It was a big game on. The war has begun, that sort of thing. And the reason I did is because, you know, I've watched the global warming crowd for a very long time. The United Nations, all these crazy, scientists that are bastardizing data sets to make it say whatever they want to say, and scandals all over the place, whatever. I've been watching this crowd for years. That's the whole Agenda 21 sustainable development crowd. And I saw those people, the very same people, jump off of global warming track over onto the pandemic track, and they did exactly the same thing they did in global warming. They used fear to pump policy to get people moving towards sustainable development. So you saw the same people, the same universities, the same cracked computer models writing, creating incessant, we're all going to die because the seas are going to rise sort of thing. And I said, this is as phony as a, stick of bologna. And this is what's happened. I mean, we see this now so clearly. It's the same crowd that did this to us, that did the global warming thing to us. And they're pushing us towards this scientific dictatorship. It's ugly. And it's not just, you're right in saying that, well, they gave us a lot of candy. You know, we have the iPhone, there's an app for just about everything you can imagine.
You can get a QR code for your vaccine. How hip is that? You could even have it tattooed on you.
I know.
Great,
you know,
idea. Oh, my gosh. Run out there and do that first.
Yeah. So we do know that they're capable of giving us candy and drugs, if you will, not so much fentanyl or something like that, but they give us the drug of the iPhone, the social media clicks and the hits and this, that, and the other, instant gratification. But now we know they're also just as capable of giving us bullets. And we're seeing this start to take place, of course, now in Europe with Ukraine. And there's nobody knows where that's going to end yet. It's a brand new thing still. It's not going to be over tomorrow, that's for sure. But the technocrats of the world are just as easily going to deliver bullets to people that they feel like they need to as candy to people like us. And I'm glad we don't have bullets over here. But, believe me, I am. But, you know, the world is being reshuffled right now. The Great Reset, as the World Economic Forum says, is underway right now. And there's a little doubt in my mind that Ukraine is part of that plan. I'm not exactly sure how yet, but it's part of that plan to reset the world. And we live in very dangerous times now, very treacherous times.
Very dangerous.
Well, it's interesting to me that, like, even, you know, really non-political people are kind of making jokes, even though it's, you know, a lot of times jokes are kind of real and not that we only laugh because we're nervous. But, you know, that Putin basically solved COVID. He's the one who cured it.
Yeah, he did.
Because it magically went away when this all started.
Well, I've said all along that you know, people will sit back and let this stuff go and not participate in any change and let it go until it hits them in the pocketbook. And when it hits them in the pocketbook and all of a sudden they can't afford food, they can't afford gas, they, you know, their job isn't allowing them to make enough money to
and it's not just hammering like people in the rural areas, it's getting them too. It's sweeping over everything.
Oh, it's sweeping over everything. And I think that's opening people's eyes that, hey, this, whatever it is we're doing right now, is not working. And I'm hoping that, you know, they'll stay awake.
The great wake up will come faster than the great reset.
Exactly.
Now, when we come back, I want to know what you're seeing, because you deal with people in a completely different realm than we do. We travel here in Arizona, and we kind of see different folks, so I'd love to know what you're hearing about this. And I thought I would use this break to do a farewell to masks because, well, we're super sick of them, and since Anthony Fauci is in hiding, we should do a farewell. So you are listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Take this mask and shut it. I ain't wearing it no more. Y'all look at me like I'm from Mars when I don't wear it in the store. Don't even try to make me put it on or I'm walking out the door. Take this mask and shut. Been shopping in this place for almost 15 years, and I've seen all kinds of viruses, but I've never lived in fear. Now I know that Corona's real, and it probably ain't a lot to ask, but I ain't a bank robber, and I ain't the Lone Ranger, and I don't want to wear this mask. Take this mask and shove it. I ain't wearing it no more.
Yep, I think we better hang on to those songs because my guess is they will try to bring that back at some point in time.
Oh, I have no doubt once...
we better start the songs early.
They run our Ukraine crisis into the ground. They're going to have another one, and I have a feeling we're going to have another pandemic come on the scene. What do you think about that, Patrick?
Well, yeah, it's come... It's undoubtedly going to come back at some point. Right now, they need to escape from it. I do believe that the invasion of Ukraine is the next shoe to drop in this battle, in this war. It's going to be, it will take a little more time really to figure out how, but I'm absolutely certain that this is part of the big game. And our attention is diverted away from face masks right now. However, just as the pandemic came in after that, remember that scripted exercise they did called Event 201 to say exactly what they're going to do if a pandemic ever came along. And then 6 months later, look at the old one.
Yeah, what about that?
Surprise.
Amazing.
Yeah. What a coincidence, right? Well, remember this last year, last fall, there was a huge operation that took place. The World Economic Forum was one of the sponsors of it. IMF was there, too. And it was a scripted simulation of what would happen if there was a massive cyber attack on the world, on the critical infrastructures of the world. And the minute I saw the concept of scripted again, I thought, this is there's something going on here that I don't like. And I said at the time, I said, I'm getting a feeling very likely there's going to be some kind of a cyber event that will panic the governments of the world into demanding a universal global ID to identify everybody on the planet and use that as a means of control on what you will consume and won't consume. But now that Russia has wheedled its way into Ukraine, we see headlines like this from The Hill. This is just an example. Russia weighs risks of launching cyber attacks against the West. In every article I see now coming out on Russia/Ukraine, the word cyber appears in it somewhere, just like everyone. This is propaganda, remember, right? We got to take all this as propaganda. But whenever you see a word repeated like this over and over and over, you need to pay attention.
Yeah, they're prepping you.
There's something, yes. It's the propaganda is setting you up for something. So if Russia is now the big boogeyman to launch cyber attacks against the West, well, that could turn out really bad because we know that, hackers have the ability to disrupt things, very quickly. And if that happens, you can imagine the response here in the United States will be like from Homeland Security and Patriot Act 2 and the passport idea, universal ID, idea so they can control the Internet, keep all these dirty hackers away. You can just see it coming, and I don't like the sound of it whatsoever, but I'm getting the feeling now that this is the next big shoe to drop. Will there be more viruses? Certainly. In the future, absolutely. But I think in the meantime, we're going to be dealing with cyber issues, cyber attacks. And those are scary, too. Those are as scary as a virus. Because now your cupboards are empty.
Mm-hmm.
The store shelves are empty, too. And you can't get enough gas to go anywhere, maybe, from work and back. Hopefully, you can get to work and back. Live out in the country, if you live out in the country and got a Ford, a Chevy, whatever, 250 pickup or diesel, and you have to fill that baby up every week, you're going to be giving something up in your life.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what better way to control the masses than, number one, control the food supply? I mean, shoot, we went to the grocery store yesterday, and we were kind of shocked at how many shelves were empty on certain food items. They just didn't have them. And if there was some kind of a big cyber event and your grocery stores all of a sudden started having massive empty shelves, I mean, people are going to do whatever they have to do. You know, if the government says we have to do this or that, they're going to do it because they.
Meanwhile, look at the other things that are going on in the background, right? Because the global warming people, they're not gone. They're just fleas on the dog. They're taking the ride at this point with the big switchover, and so now they're really trying to push, their electric cars and all that. And if you think the store shelves empty being a problem, but if you can't get to the store because you're driving like a Barbie Jeep that only, keeps a charge for 30 minutes.
Well, and then
I know I just slandered Barbie Jeeps. They probably go longer than that, but I'm not sure.
Well, another thing I think we need to prepare for is now we're starting to hear rumblings about your social credit score.
Yeah. Pat, how does that come in? Have you seen stuff with that coming in?
Well, it is. And, again, I want to say, through all the political administrations we've had in the last, say, 50 years, this technocrat crowd has worked under the surface of all of them. They didn't care who was in power. It didn't matter to them whether the Democrat, Republican, or whether it was a Ronald Reagan or a Bill Clinton. They didn't care. They manipulated the whole system, and they laid their plans and their infrastructure to do what they're doing today over the last 50 years. And so that's still going on today. Regardless of who's in power, it doesn't matter if a Joe Biden is in power right now. Well, I used to say that loosely. He's not really in power. He's there, but
yeah.
My point. But
he's moving slowly.
Moving ahead with their plans as they see fit. And the social credit scoring system is a big one right now. It's huge. We know what that is from China, but it's also now part and parcel of the financial world with the so-called ESG scoring that is being done on companies and retirement funds and stuff like that all around the world. And now we see this social credit scoring system coming down to us personally, where we are being analyzed as to how well we line up with sustainable development. And if you don't line up the way they want, then you'll be punished for it. You'll lose privileges. You won't be able to get certain things.
Yeah.
And I know people say, oh, that sounds like nonsense. Listen, I have talked personally to people who try to get insurance policies. And for one reason or another, the agent called them up and said, I'm sorry, you've been declined. And you go, well, what do you mean? I've had a policy with this company for 20 years. They say, well, they declined your policy. And you look into it. If you can get below the surface of it, you look into it and find out that they did a rating on you according to things like social credit scoring. And they figured out, after reading all your posts online and looking at, you know, your lifestyle and, you know, where you stand on certain issues and stuff like that, and they said, nope, we're not going to cover you anymore. Say, well, gee, that's not fair. Well, you're right. Scientific dictatorship is not fair
yeah,
at all.
Exactly.
And that's definitely scientific dictatorship.
Well, that's also going to
affect as a factor. That's not even in the equation.
Well, that whole social credit score thing is also going to dictate whether or not you'll be able to go to a bank or a lending institution and get a loan.
Right.
If you can't get a loan, I mean, that really puts you behind the eight ball in society.
It does. And they're kind of finding this out in Canada now. When Trudeau pulled the Emergency Powers Act, they couldn't get he was going after the bank accounts directly. Nobody thought he could do that in the first place. But I said, oh, we're going to do that. Not only that, but if you gave money to those truckers, we're going to go after you, too, and freeze your bank account.
Yeah.
And that night, there was a mini run on the bank system in Canada, and Trudeau reversed himself very quickly because he realized how he stepped in the cow pie.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't want to destroy the banking system. He needed that, right, to get on with his little, whatever he's doing, his dictatorship. But we see all around the world now the central banks are looking at coming out soon with digital currency. We see in China that China has paved the way for what they call programmable currencies, where a digital currency has, of course, as part of a blockchain transaction, and they know where every bit of value is in people's wallets throughout the country because of blockchain technology. And so they've made it programmable so that if they don't want you to spend on a certain thing or a certain amount, they can literally flip an algorithm switch, and your currency for that purchase is disabled. In other words, it's programmable, switchable on and off for you, no matter where you are in the country or the world, for that matter, because it's their currency.
Yeah.
So, you know, these are very disturbing trends.
Yeah, that's frightening, because, I mean, they have total control over you at that point.
That's right. And I know a lot of people still say, well, if you don't have anything to hide, you know, what can it hurt you? Say, you need to get off that
block
right now. Well, I've heard that for years.
Yeah, well, I don't do anything wrong. Why would they mess with me? Yeah.
Yeah.
Sit back and do nothing.
Oh, my favorite is, I'm really well armed. I'll be able to defend myself. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Island didn't even help Jeffrey Epstein.
That's right. And, you know, I've always been pro Second Amendment my whole life, so far back as I can remember. It's a very important thing. I grew up hunting and fishing and stuff, so, you know, I've used guns from the time I was probably 5 years old. But I'll tell you what, we do not want to see guns being used in America like they are in the Ukraine right now.
Yeah, no.
The only thing that's going to stop us is the First Amendment, which deals with free speech. And I can't I cannot stress this enough. We need to get off the whole treadmill that, oh, I'm gonna I'll shoot my way out. No,
yeah.
You won't.
No. No.
No way.
Well, how do you even decide, you know, who to pick? I keep, you know, it's funny because I have this conversation a lot, and I'm like, you know, at different points in time, you know, we had teams. They wore uniforms. They had geographic boundaries. If you were north of this line, you were on this team. You were south, you were in the wrong spot. And for a while there, it looked like we might be able to do, you know, masks, no masks. Now, whoops, everybody's looks kind of the same. How do you know who the good guys are and the bad guys are?
Yeah, I know.
It's just a non-workable
propaganda that's been, you know, kind of put out there that, well, you need to be tough, you know, like the old West, and think you're going to gunsling your way out of it. And it's just simply not true, not in a complex world like it is today.
No.
Well, that's not how we're going to solve it. I mean, the idea that people may not need to defend themselves, definitely not laughing at that. That's always an issue as we become more and more and more lawless. So those things still apply, but the idea that we're going to solve it that way, yeah, super unlikely.
Do we have time to talk about Professor Matthias Desmet in Belgium?
We have like 2 minutes.
I wonder. 2 minutes? Well,
should we save him till after the top of the hour? Is he?
Let me start it.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
You can cliffhanger
professor,
us.
Professor Matthias Desmet is a professor of clinical psychology in Belgium. And he proposed a theory called mass formation psychosis. I think it holds a lot of water, personally.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
That's why the world, half the world is seemingly mad right now, just completely off the rocker. And people ask that question all the time. Why is the world crazy these days? Well, he says it's mass formation psychosis. And it is, in a sense, like kind of like mass hypnosis. People have just gone off the deep end. But he said that whenever that happens, mass formation psychosis, it always creates a scapegoat. It has to have a scapegoat to blame for its own inability to get anything done at all. So the scapegoat now in today's world is the unvaccinated. The scapegoat in World War II, like in Germany, for instance, were the blacks and the gypsies and the invalids and the Jews and the rich people were the scapegoat in the Bolshevik Revolution and the educated intelligentsia. And they always create a scapegoat. They just to the letter to the revolution, they always create a scapegoat. The thing is, and he brings this up, sobering thought. We can talk about it more at the top of the hour, but he brings up the point. He says when that scapegoat is silenced, in other words, when free speech is no longer available to them, they cannot communicate with the outside world anymore. When the scapegoat is silenced, and he paused, he said, that is exactly when the killing begins.
Yeah.
And I'll just leave people to think about that and to think of one example where that's not true, and you won't find any historically. Whenever that minority scapegoat group is silenced beyond ability to speak or communicate with the outside world, that is when the killing starts. And, you know, you look at Nazi Germany, for instance. They did that to every group they went after to kill.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Same thing happened. Same thing's happening right now, by the way, in Russia, when they just outlawed all misinformation, quote unquote.
So, that's actually sort of funny.
Yeah.
Who's in charge of that?
Well, all of the media, all of the Western media summarily packed up their bags and left. They left the country. They're gone. I mean, talk about free speech. You know, there's going to be no message getting out of Russia now.
No, there's only one message going to get out of Russia now.
And that's really all you were ever getting, but they were pretending that they had multiple voices. Yeah, not so much.
Not anymore.
Mr. Wood, we are going to come back with you in the next hour because you are our hostage, and thank you for doing that. I've also added some of your shows on our site from 2016 and 2011 if people want to go listen. I think they will like them. You can find us at We the People Radio.
.us.
And we'll be right back.
Things aren't always just what they seem. I want to
find the things they say just can't be found. I'll share this love I'll find with them.